Welcome back to the Unraveled podcast. My name is Nina.
And my name is Alina.
And where are we?
Today we are at my brand new office on Baxter Street. We haven't officially opened yet. Me and my team have been working in here, but we haven't officially opened to the public. One day, probably in the next few months, we'll probably do an open house.
Okay.
An opening. Mm-hmm. So pretty excited about it. Yeah, it's fully furnished. Remodel's complete. It's certainly been a work in progress, but I'm happy to be done. Space. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And today we're drinking a gin and tonic with mm-hmm. Empress, which that's one of my favorite, is just mm-hmm. gin and tonics. Is that one of yours too? Mm-hmm. And we're drinking it from my office, from my bar in my office. I put a bar in my office. So there's liquor, there's a cocktail machine, there's canned drinks and the full nine yards. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, I figured today we'd actually talk about something that's going on right now because you have something kind of hectic that's going on, and we could use it as an opportunity for future buyers and lenders to, I guess, learn what not to do. So what's going on?
Right. I wouldn't even say about what not to do. The thing is, and this could be a lesson for anyone who's just starting in real estate, anyone who's been in real estate and maybe hasn't had this issue happen before. Every transaction is just entirely different. And mm-hmm. for the most part, majority of them end up being a lot smoother than others. And I swear you probably have maybe 1 to 3 a year that are trialing and they're testing your patience and creativity. Mm-hmm. And this for sure was one of them. I've probably had maybe 2 of them in the last 6 months. And it's been interesting to say the least. I've got a client who has bought multiple properties with me. He's an investor. And it's the same routine for every single deal. And this deal in particular just ended up being a shit show, to be quite frank. It's not anything that either one of us expected, especially considering all of our deals are usually the same. They mm-hmm. go entirely smooth. It's just quick. This one just was different for a number of reasons. Starting off, we had to ask the seller for an extension for closing, mm-hmm. and that part of it's normal sometimes. They were gracious enough to extend for an extra 2 weeks. They weren't happy about it, as no one would be, mm-hmm. but they were gracious enough to extend it, and we had to put up an additional $10,000 in earnest money, making our total earnest money $17,000 at that point. Then we were waiting at that point. The reason we had to extend it is because we were waiting on the appraisal to come in. Mm-hmm. Appraiser hadn't even went out at that point. So we extended it for 2 weeks. We're near the end of the first week and the appraiser still has not gone out yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm calling the listing agent. I'm like, hey, we're going to have to extend again. The appraiser hadn't even went out at this point. Mm-hmm. And so I'm calling the listing agent. I'm like, hey, we're going to have to do another extension again. They're livid, of course. Mm-hmm. Oh, mind you, I forgot to tell you the biggest caveat of this whole situation is that the seller is doing a 1031 exchange. Mm-hmm. So that type of deal is already sensitive within itself. Mm-hmm. Sorry, audience, if you don't know 1031 exchange, there's a whole nother podcast episode for that because it's a whole nother conversation. But seller's doing a 1031 exchange, so he's limited on time. He's also purchasing a property in Florida that he did a bidding war on. Mm-hmm. So he won the property for the ability to be able to close quick and a few other factors. But he can't close if this house doesn't sell or it doesn't sell within time. Mm-hmm. So he's having to also do an extension on the home, on the mm-hmm. home that he's buying, and they're pissed as well, of course. Mm-hmm. So it was literally a chain reaction.
Yeah.
And so in order to, at this point, this is our second extension that we're asking for. Mm-hmm. In order to make it work, we ended up having to give the seller $17,000 in earnest money, not applying it to the purchase. Like, hey, this is yours to keep, because we are having to ask for an extension and we're trying to show you to our best ability that we are committed to buying this home. It's just, we're having hiccups with the financing and mm-hmm. hiccups with the appraisal. Really, that's what it was at that point. Mm-hmm. So we get that out of the way. They agree to it. We extend for an additional week. And then come to that week, appraisal had already came in. Appraisal was good. Lender had told me previously that this is why it's important to have a good lender. Lender told me previously the only thing that would cause issues is the appraisal coming in less, which even if it came in $200,000 less than what we expected it to, we were still good.
Yeah.
So there really should have been no other additional issues that could have caused this appraisal to come in less. Mm-hmm. Not even 12 hours before closing the next day, we get a call from the lender saying, hey, the terms of your loan are changing and you need to bring an extra $80,000 to closing. less than 12 hours before closing. Mm-hmm. Why, in my mind, I'm thinking, why was whatever issue caused this additional down payment, why was this not figured out sooner? Mm-hmm. We have had almost 3 weeks to close, mm-hmm. and you're just now telling us less than 12 hours before closing that we need to bring an additional $80,000 to close? Like, why is that even okay? Why mm-hmm. are you as a lender telling, like, thinking that this is okay? Mm-hmm. Like, people have $80,000 laying around to make the deal work. It blew my mind.
I mean, okay, so asking for the additional $80,000 is bad enough. But to me, it screams either that they're unprofessional or shady. And hopefully it's not shady, but just the fact that you don't know how a real estate transaction works. You don't know. I mean, you've looked at all the files, so you know
that your request is impractical.
Yeah, but you know that we have to close at this day. So why did you wait
until the last day?
12 days before, I mean, not 12,
12
days.
Less than 12 hours, yeah.
Less than 24 hours before closing to drop this bombshell on us. What? It makes no sense.
I agree. So we're all panicking. Mm-hmm. And I'm at this point, every time I've called the listing agent, it's always bad news. And mm-hmm. I know she dreads my call every single time. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't want to have to call her and tell her like this news.
Yeah.
So before I called her, I started brainstorming. I'm like, okay, so I call my client. I'm like, hey, where are we going to get $80,000 from? We got an investor to come in last minute and give 25. So at that point we just needed 60. Mm-hmm. So we need another investor to give 60,000 because my client has his funds tied up in other deals. Like he's got 7 to 10 properties right now that he's flipping. Mm-hmm. And also keeping in mind that he's also got to have reserves for the construction, mm-hmm. I mean the construction, the budget for the renovations and mm-hmm. whatever. There's a lot of logistics to figure out, but we still needed $60,000 extra to be able to close this in 12 hours, which is so impractical, mm-hmm. but whatever. So he's calling, he's making calls, trying to get this done. And it was just not happening. So before I called the listing agent, I was like, I need a plan B, because if I'm calling her, it's going to be, hey, we can't close,
yeah,
because we don't have $60,000. So I'm calling her and I'm saying, hey, so before I called her, I crafted up a plan B and I was like, hey, what if we did a promissory note? Mm-hmm. A promissory note basically would allow the seller to give the $60,000, mm-hmm. Not really give, it would just be kind of deducted off of what he would get at closing. Mm-hmm. And it would be a promise that that my client would pay back that loan.
Yeah.
And a promissory note is more common for lenders, like a mortgage company. Mm-hmm. I think they do promissory notes and stuff like that. But it's not common to have to ask a seller to do that. But I was like, you know what? At this point, it doesn't hurt. I'm sure he doesn't want to lose property that he needs to buy. So I'm sure he'll comply and just do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. And then again, there's that caveat of the 1031 exchange. Mm-hmm. So we don't even know at that point if the 1031 exchange will allow a promissory note. Mm-hmm. So he's having to check with his accountant and his attorney and try to make sure that that will all work. And sure enough, it will work. So I called the listing agent. We talked it through. Of course, she is pissed. And she was like, and she basically was telling me like, do you know what kind of position this puts me in? And that I said, I'm in the same position as you. Like, if anyone understands what kind of position you're in, it's me. Mm-hmm. I'm literally just passing the message along and trying to come up with a plan to get this still closed tomorrow.
Yeah.
So as respectfully as I can be, I'm in the same boat as you. Yeah. Like, this isn't on me. It's on the lender. Mm-hmm. Like, for telling us last minute. And I'm sorry, but like, if anyone knows your pain, it's me. I'm the one having to call you, and I didn't want to have to call you, but at least I called you with the solution. Mm-hmm. So, of course she's like, I don't even know what to tell my client. I don't even know if to call my client. I was like, you know, that's for you to decide. I'm just bringing the message to you and you can do with that as you please. So we can try to get this to closing and try to get this to work. Mm-hmm. So she calls me a few hours later and of course her client is pissed. Mm-hmm. But end of the day, you know, if you want to close bad enough, you mm-hmm. will make things work. Mm-hmm. So they did. And then they were okay with it. But again, he had to talk to his attorney and his accountant to figure out how to craft this in the appropriate way. So mm-hmm. we were dealing with that from 3 p.m. to 11 o'clock at midnight, the day before closing. Mm-hmm. And then going into the next day, the seller was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do the lien. I don't want to do the promissory note. So the mm-hmm. promissory note ended up changing from a promissory note to a lien because the lender said it needed to be a lien instead of a promissory note. Mm-hmm. Honestly, not much of a difference other than a lien is filed in public records versus mm-hmm. a promissory note is not.
Yeah.
Honestly, it gives the seller more security. And I asked the listing agent, I was like, what's the problem? Why doesn't he want to do it? And he's like, because if he was okay with doing a promissory note, then he should definitely be okay with doing a lien. Mm-hmm. The lien gives him more security than the promissory note. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so nothing has really changed other than us giving him more security by doing a lien. And then she's like, well, he doesn't want to do it because then he's got to pay capital gains taxes on the $60,000 and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, let me go back to my client. Let me see what he's willing to do. So we calculated what the capital gains taxes would be, and they were roughly going to be about $30,000 extra. So they said, and so we changed the contract over a little bit more, and we did a $60,000. And then we also did an additional security note for $40,000 to cover the difference of what the seller was going to lose by paying capital gains taxes. So in order for us to make the $40,000 work and it not be money to the owner for the property, mm-hmm. we had to do it as furniture. Mm-hmm. So the seller had to sell all the furniture that was in the house. Mind you, he's already packed up all this furniture on a U-Haul. It's been sitting in a U-Haul mm-hmm. for a week mm-hmm. because we were supposed to close a week ago. Mm-hmm. And so they're having to unload all the furniture out of the U-Haul and put it back in the house today.
Wow. Today.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we got clear to close a few hours ago. So everything is done. We're good. It has certainly been interesting, and I have certainly learned a lot. I will tell you that it certainly pays to be creative and thinking outside the box mm-hmm. To get things to closing, because anything can happen in a transaction that is unexpected. And you've really just got to like hone in and like figure out what can I do to make everyone happy, and what is going to get this to closing. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did, and we figured it out, and it worked.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't say everybody's happy, but they will be happy when it's closed and it's done. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, that's where you're correct. It's very important if you're hiring an agent, buyer or seller, that the agent has experience with more complicated deals, because sometimes a deal goes haywire and the only way to save it is to be creative.
Yeah.
And if an agent is either lazy or doesn't have the experience or knowledge to do it, mm-hmm. then it would have fallen apart probably days
months
ago.
Yeah. Not months, I'm sorry, weeks ago. Correct.
Yeah. Correct. So,
wow.
Yeah. It's funny, as you were telling me about the situation and the lender, I actually had experience with the same lender a few years ago. So I was representing the seller. A buyer came with a cash offer, which ended up being financing from this lender. And they had their own agent, all of that. It was a bit complicated. They required us to do a lot of different things. And then, okay, we are almost to the closing table. 2 days before closing, they give us a laundry list of items that need to be repaired. And then the appraiser needs to go back out there. So, meanwhile, there was no appraisal contingency.
That's so odd for them to be asking for that kind of stuff mm-hmm. from a hard money lender.
Yes. So, keep in mind, there is no appraisal contingency or anything. But somehow, there is still a contingency because they're refusing to give the clear to close unless these items were done. So I was there in the house with the contractor. I mean, it was freezing. It was around the holidays. We were getting it done late into the night. And I mean, moral of the story, I would never recommend that lender.
Good. It's interesting because my client has done deals with him before and the other ones have went smooth. This one just was a shit show. Like mm-hmm. it really was. And sometimes I don't even just blame it on the lender entirely. Like it's not just the lender. Like it's they have the underwriting, they have other people on their team. There's mm-hmm. probably 10 people on their side mm-hmm. that can make or break this deal. But at the end of the day, when you don't have anyone else to blame, it becomes the lender.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is though, it may not even be an intentional
sure
problem or something that was done on purpose, but if a deal is a little bit more complicated, the lender you use and the agent you use, you have to be important on top of it. Agreed. Because you have to do things by a certain deadline. Otherwise, things just get more and more complicated the more it goes on.
Agreed.
So, wow, that's crazy.
It has certainly been a great kickoff for the beginning of the year. Yeah. And in the first quarter. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I think that wraps up our time for today.
Sure.
Thank you for joining us and for watching and listening. We will be releasing a new episode every Wednesday in this new location. You can follow us on social media and listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for watching.
Bye.